But God is good, amen. I've been praying through Psalms. I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, pray through, not just read, which is different, but pray through line after line of every Psalm. So I started in the 50s, Psalm 50, 51, and that's full of amazing stuff. And I'm now into, I'm 84 today, I'm 84 this morning. And and sometimes I look and the ones at that size, and then there's other ones that are huge, and I'm like, Lord, I'm going to take forever to pray through this. But they've come alive. They have been like pointed prayers for you. For you, Liberty Church. I pray this for you. And I just felt to bring one of them to us, and this is a great one. They're all great, but this is a great, great one. And so it's Psalm 77 if you want to turn in your Bibles, and we'll read it in a minute. But let me just give you some background. It's not written by David. It's written by a man called Asaph, one of David's musicians. David usually wrote all the Psalms, well, the majority of them. But this Psalm is a Psalm that is filled at the beginning with anguish and despair and what's happening and confusion and all these things. And what was happening at the time, that Israel was in a national crisis. They turned away from God. Their enemies were coming to take them captive. And so he was, what the word is, he was lamenting. And a lament is this, we might say it's giving out. Lord, what are you doing? Why is this happening? And it's sort of like that, but it's more like you just can't help the overflow of your heart with the pain and the anguish and the confusion that can come into a life at any moment. And here he was on a national level pouring it out to God, but also on a personal level we can do this. He says, God, why are you silent? He questions God's mercy and grace. He questions God, why are you silent? I'm sleepless in the night. I can't even get my head straight. And the word anguish in verse 10, we'll read it in a minute, but this word carries both a physical sickness and an emotional weakening of a person's personality. So when you see it like this, it's like, this is not like just somebody saying a nice prayer. This is somebody pouring out their heart to the things of God. Let me read some of it. It's going to come up on the screen. Listen to him. He says, I pour out my complaint to you, God. I lifted up my voice, shouting out for your help. When I was in deep distress in my day of trouble, I reached out for you with my hand stretched out to heaven. Over and over, I kept looking for you, God. But your comfort and grace was nowhere to be found. As I thought of you, I moaned, God, where are you? I'm overwhelmed with despair, with that physical, emotional weakness. I'm overwhelmed with despair as I wait for your help to arrive. I can't get a wink of sleep until you come and comfort me. Now I'm too burdened even to pray. My mind wandered, thinking of days gone by, the years long since passed. Then I remembered the worship songs I used to sing in the night, and my heart began to fill again with thoughts of you. So my spirit went out in search. Would you really walk off and leave me forever? My Lord God, won't you show me your kind favor, delighting me again? Has your well of sweet mercy dried up on me? Will your promises never come true? Have you somehow forgotten to show me love? Are you angry that you've closed your heart of compassion towards me? What wounds me most, this got me. What wounds me most, he says, God, that is it somehow my fault that you've changed your heart towards me? And I no longer see the years of the mighty one and his right hand of power. Can you hear it in him? Can you hear this anguish and despair that, God, have you left us? As the sweet well of your mercy dried up. That's a hard place, and I know you've been there, because I've been there. You won't walk in this world without feeling some of this stuff. And when you look around Ireland, I just want to bring us into that little bit of crisis and despair. Because in Ireland right now, the homeless crisis, through the roof, attacks on rough sleepers. These are official facts. On rough sleepers, tents being slashed, attacks on our own people that are homeless, the housing crisis, the rent rising, the displacement of so many people, the skeletal of a young baby found in Donegal, fraud, anti-immigrant hatred and violence, political issues, both here and up north, social unrest. And what about personal tragedy? What about our own lives? I'm sorry, back up now. The war is in a crisis. The world is in a crisis of wars. You have people in Israel and Gaza and Hamas and Israel and Ukraine and Russia and particularly in the Middle East, like slaughter of people, of kids. Like, you're like, this world is in a crisis. Displaced people, human trafficking, assassinations of people. Like, when you just think about that young man, Charlie Kirk, and like whatever, whether we like him or not, it doesn't even matter. But a father being shot. Like, his own kids in front of. Like, what's worse, not couldn't be acting worse now, but what's worse, like, I've seen one Irish woman on something on Facebook or whatever the other things are. An Irish woman. She said, I'm not just glad he's dead. I celebrate. What? Well, and you know, and they done it in other countries, but like when I was an Irish woman, I was like, what are you saying? And it turns out she was a practicing witch. I said, well, what crisis? I could read that psalm and go, I'd be in despair if all we had, it was this psalm and this world. And then what about personal crisis, family? Sickness, relationships, addiction, loss, grief, trauma, sin, crisis of faith, work situation, God seeming distant and silent, life feels unfair, stuck in a rut. But what's incredible, if this is all we have in this psalm, if this was all that was left of this psalm, we would be in trouble. But the psalmist felt the full weight of it all, right? So this psalm gives us permission to lament. It gives us permission to pour out our heart. God, are you gone? Has your well of mercy dried up? Did I do something wrong for you to walk away and me not love me anymore? That's the worst bit for me out of all this. It's like, that I bring it down to me and go, God, have I caused you to be silent? Because I didn't want to speak to you. I didn't want to hear from you. I disobeyed you, whatever it would be. And he brings you down to this. But this psalm gives us an opportunity and it invites us in to go, get it all out. Don't leave it running around your head because God already knows your thoughts. Don't hide the anger, the fear. Don't hide the shame, the pain deep within you when God already knows it's there. So this psalm gives us permission to get it out. Lord, why did that happen? Now, I don't mean like this because you won't get out now, God, if you're a spoiled brat type of person. Where were you? And it's not that. The lament is like, I'm in pain. My anguish is not, when I see people, and I told God, I'm like, you won't be hearing from God in a while with that attitude. Humble, coming in, Lord. I'm broken, Lord. Or don't, you might start there, full of all that. But then when you realise God doesn't give in to that bad behaviour, he can't reward that behaviour. Because we wouldn't do it with our kids, and he won't do it with him, because then we learn the wrong way. Then we think we're God and he's not. But he comes in. Remember, the last time I spoke about lament a number of years ago, I was up in a hospital, in Tala Hospital, after visiting. I was up there because a young girl passed away, tragically, even at her own hands. I was up there with the mother, and my daughter, oh not my daughter, Sharon, my wife, and another friend, Carol, was with me. And we goes up, and I'm with the family, and I'm coming out, and this is a 16-year-old girl that all the girls. And I'm coming out, and like, if my brokenness, if I could use that word, I nearly feel wrong in saying that because mine could never be compared to that mother, right? But still, you feel the weight of it. And I'm coming out, and and then I meet this girl who grew up with me in Dolphins Barn Flats, and she was standing there with her two nieces. I knew them all, hadn't seen her in a number of years. But I also know that a young boy, like, 20 years of age, his life was taken by assassination. And she says, no, Kenny, that's my nickname by the way, no, And it's also, my grandkids call me Nono, because Nono is granddad in Italian. So I still have my old nickname coming back to me every day, only they say Nono. No, they don't. No. But Vera goes, No, Kenny, are you still a man of God? I'm standing out in front of her. I says, I am. Same age, we grew up together, hung around together when we were younger. And I says, I am. And she stood there and she goes, you tell me. And she forced, see this, where was God when my son was on that ground? Why did he leave us? Why this? And I'm telling you, Sharon and Carol moved to the side, right? Because this volume of pain and anger and anguish and despair came out of this girl, and it was like it was flowing over like a hydrant out of the ground, like so much. So I felt my face just going like that all the way back, and she was just leveling it. And I just thought in my head, that was a Saturday when I was preparing for Sunday with a psalm, one of the other psalms that were lament, and in my head I was like, it's all right now, she's just lamenting. It's nothing to do with you. But you represent God. And I was like, and then when she stopped the salt and came back from somewhere, and I looked at her and I said, Barry, can I give you a hug? She didn't need me to correct her. She didn't need me to say, no, God is good. She just was a mother that was an event. And God gives you and I this permission in this psalm to get it out. Things that it holds down, because if it's in you, it'll make you sick. It'll make you distant from God. But imagine if it's said there. Look at the change of colour in the next slide. So things are not left there. There is hope. There is always hope. There's sunshine. And he goes on to say, yet I could never forget all your miracles. There was a turning point in this. It's like all that's going on, but yet I have this history with God. I could never forget all your miracles. My God, as I remember all your wonders of old, I ponder on all that you've done, Lord, musing on all your miracles. It's here in your presence, in your sanctuary, where I learn more of your ways. For holiness is revealed in everything you do, Lord. You're the one and only, the great and glorious God. I ponder all you've done, Lord, musing on your miracles. You display wonders, miracles, and power. And power makes the nations acknowledge you. But your glory burst. That's where I got the yellow from. Your glory burst. You rescued us over and over again. Just ask the sons of Jacob and the sons of Joseph, and they will tell you, and all of us, your beloved ones, will know. He's saying to us now, and pointing us in, don't just stay in the lament. Don't just stay in the despair. Because what can happen is, as Christians and as people, we can stay in either one of them. We can stay in despair. I know when you stay in despair, and everything that comes out of you is negative, hopeless, no way out. All that stuff, right? We can stay there. And I have friends, and I'm a minister for 36 years. And there's people that are there decades. Because all they've seen is the crisis and the pain. Or you can be a Christian and all that stuff can be going on, and you're in the glory burst where you're denying all of that. So you can be a Christian in denial, thinking you haven't got a right to nearly lament. So you carry it off, and believe me, it will come out some way, or else you're just talking all out of despair. But the psalmist showed us there's a turning point. That there's a place where you can get it all out. And you can say, God, you are a miracle worker. You can work it out. You can break through. This is a season I'm going through. This is a crisis I'm going through. But crises don't last forever. Seasons don't last forever. Grief doesn't last forever. Pain doesn't last forever. As long as we turn to the God of miracles and say, no, God, you're my God. You know the God of Moses. That's your God. They're not God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's their God. The God, when you read, took fishes and loaves and multiplied and fed everybody. That's your God. He's not like the lepers that came to Jesus. Jesus didn't go, oh, I can't do anything about this. He touched their lives and they were totally healed. Blind Bartimaeus, have sight. A dead man in a tomb, come out of that tomb and walk again. This is the God that we said. This is the God that's on upward. This is the God that's presenting himself and inviting us into. And so only when I forget that. And it's easy to forget at times when crisis starts creeping up on you. But the psalmist reminds us now, turn. Remember. Muse, I love that word. Muse, ponder. Think about what he's done in the past. And the psalmist ends with this last bit. Let's look at this last bit. You remember Moses and all the people of Israel came out of Egypt? Like so. Pharaoh would let them go. They were in slavery. Pharaoh would let them go. They came down to the Red Sea. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh goes, get them back. Like, they're not getting away with this. It's all about human trafficking. You are talking about slave labor. Talk about oppression. Like, talk about depression. He says, get them back. We will have no workers if we let them go. So he sends all of his chariots, right? So Moses and all the people are after being let go. They get to the Dead Sea and they get to the Red Sea, and now they have a sea in front of them, and they see all the chariots coming behind. Talk about being between a rock and a hard place. You're either going to be slaughtered or brought back into slavery. And this psalmist brings Israel back to the worst point in their life where they had no way out. And he says, listen, when the many waters of the Red Sea took one look at you, they took one look at you, God. The sea were afraid and they ran and hid, trembling to its depths, storm clouds filled with water high. In the skies, cloud bursts and thunderclaps announced your approach. Lightning flashes in the landscape. Rolling whirlwinds exploded with sonic booms of thunder. Rumbling as the skies shouted out your story. With light and sound and wind, everything on earth shook and trembled as you drew near. Your steps formed a highway through the seas with footprints on a pathway that no one even seen knew was there. You led your people forward by your loving hand, blessed by your leadership. And Moses, you ever read that bit in Moses? And it says, just all it says is the sea is parted. Well, here's the psalmist going, no, the sea didn't just part. When God came on the scene, the river of the sea parted, pushed back, made a wall. The land became dry. So 2 million people, they reckon, walked across on dry land. And he says this. So he says, what the psalmist done, he brought his people, and it brings us to the worst case scenario. Think of your worst case scenario. Think of the worst situation you're in now, right? And that's where they were brought. What am I going to do? Moses looked to God. God says, lift up the staff, lift up the stick in your hand. Seems like stupid. What's that going to do? But when you're obedient to God, and when he lifted it up, the water started to push back because God now entered the scene. God brought the breakthrough. So now the water, I love all that. Thunderclaps, whirlwind, sonic sound of booms, and water going back. And there's a whole pathway for 2 million people. Think of the worst case scenario that you need to break through. And that's where the psalmist brings us to. Says, this is your God. The God that gets them to break through is the God that can bring your life to the other side on dry land, and your enemies and your slave drivers and your tormentors and your oppressors you'll see no more. That's what he said to them. And I love it. He says, your unseen footprints made a way. Your unseen footprints. He's there. He's there with you. He's there with your people. He's just there. And he will make a pathway through. You mightn't see his footprints, but you'll see the path. And when you get to the other side, you know what they all done on the other side? Got out tambourines. All the women grabbed the tambourines up in the air. All the women, it says. So if there was 2 million people, there had to be probably 500,000 women at least. Can you imagine? 500,000 tambourines. My goodness. All up in the air. All the single ladies. Can you imagine? You start rejoicing. You may lament today, but when God brings you to you, you will rejoice in Jesus' name. That's what he offers us. The footprints in the sand. We all know it. And we get to the end of life and go, Lord, where were you? And he sees only one set of footprints in the sand. He says, through the hard points, that's where we can. And all we have to do is surrender to his loving hands. Say, Lord, I'm not going to live in despair. I'm not going to live in denial. When I have a real God that puts real miracles and brings real problems to an end, it changes me in the meantime and shows me to look to you and not to what's going on.